This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
This hour brought to you by A1 Heating and Air. Stay cool and comfy this summer with A1 Heating and Air Conditioning. Visit A1Heating.com.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
8:39, welcome to the show. David Allen in for Paul J. Chris here. Joining us in the next title studio, Mayor Dave Beter. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well.
Let's start out with some good news. I always like to do that. Let's give a quick shout out to everybody in the county and the authorities and everybody for how great July 4th was for us.
Absolutely.
This year.
Absolutely. We could not host at Ann Morrison Park and went scrambling for another venue. If not that many, you can have that big an event in. So hats off to the county, the commissioners, and the fair board, and the director of the fair, all the folks that pitched in, because it just went great on short notice. I think it was only a little over 3 weeks, something like that, where we knew we had to move it. It just went off without a hitch. Great show. Everybody was good spirits.
I thought the headline was funny. It said, Boise fireworks to be held in Garden City.
Right.
You know, it's right there.
People. It is right there. It's funny how many times people say, are you going to annex Garden City? Like, we can just,
you can just
mobilize
do that.
At the border and
just take it over.
I declare that
let's invade Garden City and make it our own.
You know, the only reason Garden City exists is local option gambling. I don't know if you knew that.
Really?
We had
back in the day
slot machine gambling for 4 years in Idaho, and Boise wouldn't enact it, so they incorporated Garden City for the sole purpose of having gambling, and then it went away, and here we are. There's still Garden City.
American ingenuity. You got to love it. Let's also celebrate. I mean, it's the middle of July, and it's hot this weekend. Most of the green belts open again.
We're really pleased. Still a couple stretches that we're working on. The damage, thankfully, knock on wood, is not as bad as we worried. So it's it looks pretty good that way. The people by and large were pretty good. A lot of people still use the green belt, but we were able to avoid any incidents, at least of any size. I still caution people not to get in the river yet. We're working on all the cleanup that has to go on before you can tube and raft, but we're getting there.
Do you have a timeline for maybe when it might open?
Well, I think it just depends on those two things, cleanup and the depth of the water. I mean, we were at the height, we were 9,500 or more cubic feet per second. It has to go to 1,500 to be able to tube it. So it's and I haven't checked lately, but we were still quite away from that the last time I did. So.
Can you narrow it down to the year?
We could have, if we have, we can have no season. But I think the heat and the cleanup coming along gives us a shot at it. So, but till then, stay off.
Couple of members of your city council have decided that they're not going to run again. Now, one of them we were pretty sure of, and that's Marianne Jordan,
right?
Because she's in the Idaho Senate now,
right?
And then the other one is Mr. Quintana.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about this?
Well, it was I had talked to Ben quite a bit. He said he was, deliberating on that, and I thought it was probably 50-50 that whether he'd run or not. Still, it's been. I can't remember the last time we've had two open council seats, not in the time I've been in office. So it is a rare thing to have. There's three up and two are open seats. So it'll be interesting. I've heard some names. The filing deadline is actually pretty late. It's not till the end of August, I think it is. So we'll see here. But, we expect – I do know some of the folks that are – all but going to file. I think you have to file a treasurer's report, and we do have some of those, so we have some idea, and I think there's some good folks, and we'll have we'll have at it and see what happens.
I think good politicians are like good umpires in a baseball game. just come in, do their job, and you don't see them. You don't even notice that the umpire's there. And politicians just come in, do what's good for the city, and look out for the populace as a whole, and then go home at night.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because one of my favorite analogies about being the mayor is you're the head waiter. You know, really good waiters don't call attention to themselves. Mm-hmm. You just, everything happens the way it should. Your experience is really good. It's you, your meal, and your friends that matter. And so I agree with you. I think that's the analogy that works best and that we keep in mind. You know, sometimes it works. You know, it works out that way. Sometimes you have to get in the middle of things and make a little more noise.
Sure.
Than you'd prefer, but I think that is the best analogy, at least at the local level.
I drive by it all the time. And when we talk about when the firehouse is open, firehouse on Eustick is open. It's beautiful.
Yeah, we worked hard on those fire stations because we wanted to make them, you know, long term stations. Build them well. Build them the way they ought to, and they'll last a long time and serve you well. And those just turned out exceptionally well. We had good crowds opening them up. The firefighters themselves are happy. There's, you know, room for women firefighters, which we are seeing more and more, and they're you know, they're accommodate that well. So
facilities, yes.
It's a real win. We're real pleased.
Mayor Dave Beter in the studio with us today.
This is Idaho Talks Live today at 3. Listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
850, David, Chris, Mayor Dave Beter with us this morning in the Next Title studio. I'm a big fan of always knowing my neighbors because I want them to know when I'm around or when I'm not around, and I want to know who's supposed to be in their house, too. Tell us about the Good Neighbors nominations.
Well, it's a program we've had for 6 or 8 years now, and it's just been just one of the great days of the year because we open up nominations. They're open right now. They'll be open until August 31st. It's an opportunity to recognize the folks in your neighborhood, and it could be, you know, neighborhood association officers and little higher profile stuff, or people that lend a hand when you need it, you know, watch your house, all those kinds of things, because that's really what adds up across the city. In fact, if there's anything that we want to encourage the most, it's that, you know, at the neighborhood level. There's just nothing better than that, than looking after your neighbors and after each other and having that kind of atmosphere in our neighborhood. So this is a chance to recognize folks. And I think we do, you know, 40-some awards. And it is just the best because folks show up from all over town and people are surprised because they don't know it's coming, and it's a great night.
What are the sorts of things that people in the past have done to deserve it to be nominated?
You just can't imagine. I mean, you know, things from, you know, a garden that you know, they share with the neighborhood to, you know, some real heavy lifting. I mean, when people are sick or injured, they just take over the household and make sure everything works. It's just phenomenal. The stories are just unreal. We've had people come from fair distances because their, you know, their relative or former friend or friend or former neighbor are getting recognized because it just turns out to be just one of the best nights. If you're feeling a little down,
dry eye in the house, kind of
come
night,
out
yeah.
to that event because it's just the best, and it really is what makes us a great city. You know, we have a neighborhood night out event coming up here too, where neighborhood watch efforts are recognized, and we all, city council members and police and fire chiefs, and get out and say hello to folks on that night too. So it's some good stuff at that level coming up.
We've got a new food processing place, Hearthside Foods, and you met with them a little less than a week ago. How
was
that?
We did. It was really pretty amazing. You know, we do business visits every month. We go out all over town, different industries, different parts of town. You learn a lot by getting out of the office and getting out to see people. But this one, the Power Bar plant was purchased by, I think it was gosh, who was it? I can't remember the company, but they bought it and put a bunch of improvements into it. Then it didn't fit their plan and put it up for sale. And it was empty for less than a year, I think. But we talked to the plant manager. He says, I've been in this business 38 years. I've never seen a facility like this.
Really?
Anywhere in the world. This is one of the nicest, look like a stainless steel truck had an accident and just put stainless steel everywhere. And it, nice. it took very little upgrades, but they are ratcheting up, hiring intensely, and are going to be competitive across the world, really, in contract food producing. So it was an impressive sight and great to hear a facility like that is getting used like it ought to be, and that you know, the jobs are going to be good ones, and a lot of them. They're going up, adding shifts, adding. They do 300,000 bars a day,
wow,
a shift, and they only have one shift going now, but they're going to have two, three, and wow, maybe more than that. So it's great.
We had somebody from the chamber on a couple of weeks ago, and she was talking about the millions and millions of dollars that's getting spent in downtown. And I tell you, every time I come in off the connector into downtown, you know, right around Jump, you've got that more buildings going up there. I can't get over, if I miss a week, it seems like three more buildings have been put up.
Yeah, that's it. You talk to people that have been away 3-4 years, and they can't believe it. They don't, you know, recognize things. So it's the really good stuff, too. I mean, you know, remember when you used to come off the connector and there was all that dirt just for, seemed like miles, but for blocks. And now there's, besides that triangular piece, you know, between the connector, that's all filling up nicely. The Simplot headquarters turned out great. I just think this is what you hope for, you know, and you work to try to help along. It wasn't that long, though, when we saw a hole in the ground and nothing going on. So we're really appreciative because this is infill. This is the good stuff. Doesn't take us more, you know, more firefighters, more cops, more, you know, pipes, more. It's all there and ready to go. So
on that note, how's the Hyatt place doing?
You know, it turned out great. It's it was rocking on the 4th of July parade day, I'll tell you that. In fact, they tell me it's the only Hyatt ever in the fleet to open full, because the convention that we had, the biggest convention we've ever had, it coincided with their opening. So they opened full and have done quite well. So, you know, we wonder if we're going to have a few too many hotel rooms. You know how that goes.
They'll always fill up.
But you hope they know. We actually did a pretty involved market analysis, and there was, with the expansion of the convention center and just the amount of activity going on, it looks like we do need this many. But it's good to see. I'm excited about the, I call it the Dunkley Hotel because I can never remember which. You know what I'm talking about.
Yep, yep.
Rogers.
I don't think that's the way they want
it. No, probably not.
But Marriott is the big one. It's come along nicely.
It's going to be great. Mayor Dave Beter, thanks for coming in again this month.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you next month.
See you
Take
again.
Care. After the top of the hour news, Chris and I will be back for Open Phones Friday on 670 KBOI.
This hour brought to you by A1 Heating and Air. Stay cool and comfy this summer with A1 Heating and Air Conditioning. Visit A1Heating.com.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. Thanks to Mayor Dave Beter for his monthly visit. It's always good to see him. Paul J. will be back on Tuesday. I am still in for my regular Monday gig, so he'll be back on Tuesday. July 18th through the 22nd, the 102nd annual Snake River Stampede is coming to town. The Ford Idaho Center in Nampa, boasting a $400,000 payoff, Snake River Stampede is one of the top 10 regular season professional rodeos in the nation. We've got a family four-pack to give away. This is our last one to give away. Family four-pack, if you're the sixth caller, at 336-3711, 336-3711, you will win those tickets. It's great family fun, honestly. They have great snacks. They've got big, huge steers and bulls and horses and there's a stagecoach and boots. There's a rodeo clown and
belt buckles
and hats and kerchiefs and everything. Seriously, you'll have a great time. Yeah. So sixth caller, 336-3711.
Bullfighters, clowns.
Yeah, everything. Everything that you could ever want in a stampede, you're going to get.
I think you are.
At the Snake River Stampede. So.
And you know, they always have hot dogs and stuff, too.
I know. I said great treats.
Exactly.
I think you can maybe get...
Speaking of which...
Popcorn and cotton candy. Go ahead.
Apparently, this is Krispy Kreme's 80th birthday today. And as such, they will give you a dozen donuts for 80 cents.
Well,
so I'm thinking...
I got to go, Chris. I got to drive all the way down to Eagle, but it's going to be worth it.
I don't know if it's one of those deals that's only on for an hour or something, but you can do like everybody else and just get there and demand your share.
It would be worth it. So, open phones Friday, 336-3700, 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, or #670 on your Verizon Wireless. As I teased yesterday at the end of the show, call and ask us about anything because we know nothing about everything. By the way, Sam Querrey just lost.
I didn't even really follow that, but okay.
I know, but it works right.
Querrey lost in
the third set, 7-5, at Daytona.
Wimbledon, yes.
Yes, so he lost
sets. He would have lost at Daytona.
Yeah, Daytona also, yeah. So I know the health care thing, the health care bill is very important, and it's up. The House has one coming up, and it doesn't look like, again, they have the votes for it. Trump tweeted out this morning before he left Paris, hey, I'm going to be sitting at my desk with my pen, just ready to go. Everybody, have a good time.
Not necessarily calling people and urging them.
No.
Ahead, just sitting there with the pen, I guess.
You and I talked about this. It was yesterday or Wednesday. I can't remember which, but it was one of those 2 days. And that the very sad story about Charlie Gard in England.
Oh, yeah.
He's a critically ill baby.
He's a baby, yeah. And he is critically ill, and he really isn't going to improve. I mean, he could get older.
Yes.
But he isn't going to improve.
They can't cure him.
He's in a bit of a vegetative state.
Yes.
And probably will always be.
And a doctor from the States is flying over there to see if he can do anything to help before they bring him here. I bring this up for everyone who thinks that it's great that the federal government would run health care, because little Charlie Gard's parents have been trying to get him
healthcare
to stay on life support and to bring him to the States. But the NHS over there,
National Health Service in England,
won't allow them to.
Yeah.
So the parents of the child aren't allowed to take him out of the hospital to bring him to the United States for whatever treatment may or may not work, because NHS says it's futile.
To me, that's the weird part of the story.
Yes.
You know, if you want to go to another country and pay for it yourself or have that country do whatever, go ahead, as far as I'm concerned. Why would England not just say that?
Because I think there's a certain...
Because it's not like they're going to go to the United States, have an operation, and then we get to bill them. I do not think that's how it works.
And I don't know that much about it, but I just know it's... And so I don't know if there's a certain checklist that the NHS says that there's no hope for long-term survival, that it's a 10% chance, and, you know, so it's less than 50%. Yeah. So because of all those things, it's not a worthwhile endeavor.
And the Vatican has a hospital.
Yes.
And actually, some of the people who run the Vatican Hospital have been in trouble lately, but it's still, you know, working, and it still belongs to the Vatican. And Pope Francis offered the Vatican Hospital to also work on the child.
But again, the NHS has said, we need, what's the word they used? We need extreme evidence that whatever treatments you're going to do are going to be in Charlie Gard's best interest, not just for the parents, that you actually are going to be doing good for the child before they'll release the child from the hospital.
Here's the deal. I mean, he's at a point now, he's never going to be a regular kid.
No, he's 11 months old.
Yeah, he's probably never going to be conscious, for that matter.
Yeah.
He's got extreme problems, and he's got an extreme disease and extremely bad things wrong with him. And it's just that, you know, it's when people were talking about how one day we'd have death panels and all that sort of thing, saying that, well, we're going to have to decide whether it's cost effective to save you or not. And in this particular case, they've sort of decided that it's not, simply because he wouldn't have any particular quality of life anyway.
He suffers from...
However,
Go ahead.
To the parents, it's just their baby.
Yeah. He suffers from mitochondrial depletion syndrome,
yeah.
which is a rare genetic disorder that has left him brain damaged, unable, and unable to breathe unaided. Specialists at the Great Ormond Street Hospital have fought the parents' bid for therapy because they don't think it will help and may cause him pain. May cause him pain. The hospital says Charlie should be allowed to die with dignity. Is that the hospital's decision?
No, I wouldn't think so. I would think that is the decision of the family, the parents.
I would think so. A succession of courts has backed the hospital, but the case returned to the high court yesterday after claims of new evidence and a high-profile intervention. And this Hirano, Dr. Hirano, who's traveling from the United States,
yeah.
he's only testified in the case via video link, said it was worth trying treatment that has only recently emerged. So I just think that sometimes things aren't always what they seem, and it's not as simple as everybody thinks.
No, people don't think this is simple. And that's the whole point of this whole thing.
Well, it seems like the hospital thinks it's simple.
The reason why we've been arguing about it for years and years and years and have never come to a conclusion, and it's like we said yesterday, it would probably work absolutely perfectly if you had one extreme or the other. Mm-hmm. It would probably work great if the government simply were in charge of all of it, everybody paid taxes, everybody had the same insurance, and everybody went to the, you know, the hospital and it was covered in all the same way. Or you have the open market, which is what we've had in the past. However, the only problem with the open market is that it does not cover everybody, because the people who can't afford it would then not be able to get treatment. And in order for that to completely work, you get treatment if you can afford it, and you don't get treatment if you can't.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we already decided back in the 1960s that's kind of the way we decided not to leave it.
All right, John.
That's why there's Medicaid. That's why there's Medicare as well.
John and Pro-Life want to comment on this. We'll get to their calls after the break. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. It's an Open Phones Friday with David and Chris. Congratulations to Randy Bowles. He won the Snake River Stampede tickets. Listen to the Nate Shellman Show this afternoon between 3 and 7. One final four-pack to give away. It's 9:15. We'll be back with more on...
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
Or you could remember that you were listening to David Allen and Chris. Either one. Works both ways. Hey, KBOI rewards code HEAL. H-E-A-L. H-E-A-L.
As in HEAL.
Go to KBOI.com, enter the keyword HEAL, get your 5,000 reward points, and an aspirin. Yeah. Let's go to the phones. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. It is an Open Phones Friday. I did bring up the child, Charlie Gard, the child in England who is struggling. Let's go to John in Boise. You're on 670 KBOI. How are you today, sir?
Oh, good. Yeah, that you were talking about that in England, how they're treating that family with the kid and everything. I look at it a little different. I would hope a lot of Americans would see this for what it is, government-controlled medical. Isn't that what Obamacare is supposed to be?
Well, yeah, that's essentially what they have there is the National Health Service. Most of Europe has socialized medicine.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. So that's exactly what it is, yeah.
Right. And the more power they get, the more control they get. They set up I forget how many people in a medical thing. They were making up rules and mm-hmm. regulations. They didn't have to go through Congress. This is what I would think a free person would not want. And then I'll say one more thing. When you were talking about the freedom, health, when we had our health care before,
mm-hmm.
and it was, people weren't getting health service, they couldn't afford it. No, that was one of the reasons for the Obamacare, with so many people going to the emergency room mm-hmm. and getting free health care. People always have gotten health care. The problem was when the government steps in and starts feeling sorry for people and allowing lawyers to sue unmercifully against doctors. I don't have a problem with doctors being sued that do make a mistake, but there has to be some common sense, and it was thrown out. It all become politically correct as much as I can get. But anyway.
All right, John, thanks for the call today.
Yeah.
Have a great Friday.
And I think one of the main differences here, and it's actually a similarity, I'll say one of the main similarities then, between the American system that we've had and the systems that they have in Europe. Now, clearly in England, if they decide something is a lost cause,
yes,
they do not want to pay for
it
anymore.
No, they do not.
And in America, the insurance companies are kind of the same way. You know, if they have certain rules about what they can and can't cover,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, if you want to have surgery that's just going to, basically it's not going to help you in any way whatsoever, they may deny your claim. However, you could still pay for it if you want to.
Yeah, still pay for it out of your pocket.
Yeah.
Pro-Life, you're on 670 KBOI with David and Chris. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. Do you think it crosses the minds of the people who are making the decision about Charlie Gard? Do you think it crosses their mind that, hey, if we let this kid go over to America, maybe he will get treated and come out of this, and it'll show that we have an inferior medical system? But anyway...
I doubt that ever crosses their mind.
Yeah, right. Well, anyway, when government takes over health, education, welfare, recreation, medicine, and retirement, then they become God. And our religion is government. That's all we talk about. That's everything. And so it standardizes everything. There's no real freedom when you get such a socialized government, powerful government that makes decisions about everything. And so we're just, unless we go back from this, and I don't see any inclination of people wanting to do that, Republicans are just slow Democrats, and they're slow socialists. Democrats are fast socialists, and so. But the answer is that we give up our selfishness, we turn to God, and we turn to individual responsibility, and have private institutions do health, education, welfare, recreation, medicine. Now, I don't know if we'll ever be able to get back to that unless we have a total collapse of all of this monkey business, but that's my take on all of it.
All right, Pro-Life, thanks for checking in today. We appreciate it. I don't know that you can put that toothpaste back in the tube.
Well, let's put it this way. I wouldn't rule anything out, but based on the Constitution, I don't know that we can actually say it that way.
Yes.
Necessarily.
Yeah. I do like the phrase monkey business, though.
Yeah, that's always a fun thing in
politics.
I'm going
to go see Planet of the Apes this weekend, so fits perfectly.
You'll be seeing some monkey business,
yeah.
Right.
I would like to see more personal responsibility, but that...
Yeah, and
I mean on every level. I don't mean just healthcare. I mean on every level between
and
your government and you know, there's a video that we can talk about where a girl was stealing candy from a Walmart or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and the loss prevention people tackle her to the ground, and the mother's filming it saying, "Leave her alone, you're hurting her." Can we not forget that your daughter's stealing stuff? But that wasn't what matters. And so now those loss prevention people will lose their jobs probably. 9:26, news with Ron O'Brien is next on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul Jay and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. 9:36, David Allen, Chris Walton with you. I wanted to read that story that I had talked about before the break that Nate mm-hmm. did on Wednesday.
Okay.
Two loss prevention workers at a Winco in Vancouver, Washington, were caught on camera putting a 15-year-old in a headlock and dragging her back into the store because she had allegedly stole some candy. In the graphic video, the girl is crying, "Please stop," as she is wrangled to the ground of the parking lot by the two larger loss prevention workers. Her knees were bleeding as she was put in a chokehold. In the background of the video, angry customers are heard shouting at store employees to stop. The woman recording the incident attempts to calm the teen and asks what she stole. Between tears, the girl says, "Candy." I'm scrolling down past all the pictures. As the two Winco employees drag her into the store, each are holding one of her arms. Angry customers demand her release and shout expletives as one of the employees orders the girl, "On your feet." The video on Facebook alone has been viewed 11 million times, with people arguing whether or not the store employees handled the situation appropriately or used force beyond their responsibility. Now, I worked at Musicland in college. And for those of you who don't know what Musicland is, it's a place that used to sell records.
For those of you
who don't know what records are, they used to be bigger CDs. For those of you who don't know what CDs are, that's what MP3s used to be before.
Yeah.
And at Christmas, we would always, because we also had cassettes and everything in there. So we would have everybody, you'd be stationed liberally through the store to watch for people. Right. It wasn't always perfect, but it worked. Very first day, the day after Thanksgiving, the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Black Friday.
Everybody knows what the mall's like. I'm standing there at the door to the back.
Crowded.
Very crowded. And I'm standing there. He sees me. It's got my name tag on it. Musicland. David Allen. Might have just said David. But anyway, I'm standing there. The guy's right there. I'm looking at him. And he's crouched down, grabs a cassette of some kind in the tray, and puts it in his jacket. And I'm like, all right. Let's see if he's just carrying it, and he's going to go up. So I have somebody switch with me, and I go up front. And as soon as he starts walking out of the store, I grab his jacket and take him back in. I didn't have to get anybody in a chokehold or anything.
How old of a person are we talking about?
15, okay. 16, something like that. He was definitely in high school.
Okay.
And not that I was an old-timer. I was probably 22 or 23 is all. Maybe 24. But anyway, he was 15 or 16. So we called the cops. We called his parents. And he had a $20 bill on him.
Yeah.
And at that time, the cassette was $6.99 or $7.99, 85, 86-ish. And his parents literally came by as the cops are taking our statement and talking to him. He started crying, obviously, when the cops showed up. And the parents are like, did you really have to call the cops? Why are you guys calling the cops on our kid? And I looked at him, I said, do you understand he was stealing from us? And the manager at that point said, go back out on the floor. Yes, they could tell I was getting frustrated because of the lack of personal responsibility.
Right.
And I don't care if you're stealing a cassette, a car, or candy like this girl. Stop stealing stuff.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you break the law, if it's a dollar candy bar, you've broken the law.
And there could be consequences you did not foresee.
It's all on you. It's not on anybody else but you.
No, I don't believe that. Everything a policeman or a security guard or anybody does is also on them.
But they see they don't do anything break the law.
Okay, but here's the deal.
There's a cause and effect here.
But here's the deal. Had you been standing at the back door, you saw this guy put something in his jacket, and then you shot him, would that have been on him?
Well, answer
that if you would.
Well, that's an apples and oranges. We've had people do that all week to me. That's an apples and oranges because I'm not qualified to shoot someone.
Okay.
So that's an apples and oranges. So I couldn't do that.
Let's say that
what I could do under. No, wait.
Okay.
What I can do under my job is to detain the person.
Yeah.
Which is what I did.
Okay.
And if their job at the Winco is to detain the person and take them back inside, that's what they did.
So you did exactly what you were supposed to do.
Now. If the cop had shown up and the kid's running away from them with the cassette, I guess technically they could shoot him.
Okay.
Because he's a policeman and he's trying to stop a robbery. It might seem excessive, but hey, you know what? If you don't steal the cassette, no one's going to be shooting you that's wearing a police badge.
That part is true, probably.
Well, hopefully.
However, the policeman, and we know this from the fact that some policemen have been fired over different things.
As they should be if they are...
They also operate according to rules.
Yes.
And they are not allowed to... Now, they are allowed to apprehend somebody.
Mm-hmm.
They are not allowed to brutalize somebody.
100% agree with
you. Now, if someone is fighting them, they are allowed to fight them too.
Yes, they are.
And a little brutalization might happen during a fight. There are plenty of things like that. And that's why... People actually, it really kind of helps everybody if there's some video or audio of what's going on.
I saw, to go to this case and how I don't always just back the cops.
No.
Most times I do. But there's a video out there of a guy who was on the ground, handcuffed, three cops over him, and a police dog biting the guy's arm. And the cops couldn't get the dog to stop biting him. That's too much. You have to, if you're a cop and you're in the canine unit, you have to be able to control your animal. And those cops are probably going to get suspended or lose their job, I would think. And in that case.
Well, the dog might anyway.
In that case, That brutality is excessive and unwarranted. And then there's consequences for that,
yeah,
too.
But you know, all of these trials that we have about different things, where, yes, somebody has broken a law. For instance, the guy that was selling cigarettes on the
yes,
street.
Yes, in New York.
Now, he was a big dude, and yep, so the guys came around and they all tackled him.
Yes.
And as it turned out, he couldn't breathe. He died.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So then they had to be investigated. I think they were eventually cleared of that.
They were acquitted, yes.
Yeah. But that's why they investigate those things, is because everybody has a responsibility in what's going on. And the policeman will tell you that, too.
Yes.
The policeman doesn't have a badge and a gun and then carte blanche to do whatever the heck he wants. He's probably got more rules to follow than the rest of you do.
And I will agree with you. So, so to go along with my case, there's a responsibility for the person who's stealing something.
Now, in this particular case of you, you were probably doing just fine. I don't know. I have not seen the video of what happened in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Although, yes, the girl certainly has responsibility for shoplifting. You know, if those guys were smashing her face into the, you know, the pavement over and over and over or something like that, I would say, okay, that probably wasn't necessary.
And I would agree with you 100% on that.
Yeah.
All they were doing was detaining her. She's wiggling like a 15-year-old can do when they try to wiggle and get away with something.
And unfortunately, and this is why a lot of court cases get thrown out when they try to sue police, is quite often the person gets mostly injured when they're still resisting and fighting.
Exactly. Let's go to the phones. Brent in Meridian, you're on 670 KVOI. How are you today?
Good, guys. How about you?
We're doing well. Thank you, sir.
So, classic case, just like these people that cops pull people over on the road, ask them to get out of the car, and they don't do it. No different. You steal something, you do something wrong, that is the consequence. Eliminate the whole issue. Don't steal. Don't do anything wrong. Just do what you're told. Right, wrong, or indifferent. Just follow the rules.
Brent, do you have, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here for a second, do you have a delineation, because these were actually just loss prevention people, they weren't actually cops, that you think, because putting her in a headlock, even though, again, she's trying to get away with something, do you think the loss prevention people went too far?
Well, no, understood. So I worked for one of those big box stores when I was in college, mm-hmm, and loss prevention department. They can only do what they can do with the training that they're given.
Sure.
As best as they can do it. I'm not saying right. I'm not saying wrong. What I am saying, if the alleged victim, was never stealing candy, No scratch knees, no upset parents, no issues, no harm, no foul.
No video. I agree with you, Brent. Thanks for calling in today. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
And it's just one of those things that, mm-hmm, it goes back to that personal responsibility thing that frustrates me. And I'm sorry the girl got scraped knees.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry the mother was traumatized.
And again, don't anybody misunderstand what I'm saying. You certainly have probably most of the responsibility if you're the one who is doing something wrong. However, we do have certain procedures, we have certain punishments in this country that are allowed, and we have certain things that are not.
And I don't want anybody to misconstrue what I'm saying, because I will agree with you. If cops or somebody are using excessive force, I'm okay with them being, you know, suspended, losing their jobs, going to jail, whatever.
But again, and there has to be a judgment call on that.
Yes.
And if you have somebody on the force, for instance, who over and over has shown that their judgment is a little iffy.
Yes.
Then generally, I mean, the police will see to it that that individual no longer is at least a beat cop.
100% agree. It's Open Phones Friday, 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. It's 946. We'll take more of your calls next on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
9:50 now at 670 KBOI. Let's go back to the phones. Oh, let me just tell you this real quick. This portion of the show is sponsored by the good folks at the College of Western Idaho. If you feel like you're stuck in a dead-end job with no excitement, now's the time to make a change. Check out CWI's truck driving program today. Go to cwidaho.cc or call them at 562-2050 for more information. Bill in Nampa, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm well. Thank you. Just a quick comment regarding that young lady in Washington. You know, times are different today. Things are much more acceptable to young people now than they were when many of us were kids. And I remember an incident when I was about 10 years old. I
swiped from the dime store a nickel pack of BBs, and of course was caught. And to this day, I'm embarrassed by that and almost humiliated by it when I think about my actions. And to she's going to have to live with this for a while. Hopefully it's a sobering reminder. By the way, I'm 71 years old, and I'm still bothered by it.
All right, Bill. So, thanks for checking in. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, and
you, hopefully it will affect her.
He learned a lesson.
Yep.
And he still has his conscience still bugs him about it. And so that's not a bad person right there.
No. Yeah, exactly. And like I say, she's only 15, so yeah, she's able to learn from this and move on and decide that that's not what she wants. She doesn't want to have videos of her on Facebook getting arrested or traumatized because she's stealing candy, for goodness sakes.
H.G. McCall says, I didn't see the video, but they could probably have detained her with less force. In general, this culture has promoted the be free to do whatever you feel like doing. Look at ads that tell you to be a rebel by our product. Let all rules go by our product. Is it any wonder that youth and their parents think everyone should be treated gently even if they are breaking the law? But using force on a teenage girl, there are other ways to deal with it. Take her photo, get her name and address, or the mother's, let the proper authorities deal with it without getting rough. Yes, she should learn her lesson. Police involved, maybe be taken to the station, maybe, do community service, teach a lesson. How she and her mother are probably thinking they are in the right, and no good lesson is learned. The girl is now probably even more resistant to authority with her mother backing her up. And, you know, I like the parents, you know, that would show up and say, okay, you know, stop brutalizing my kid. On the other hand, we're not letting my kid go because he did, do the crime. And so this has to be dealt with.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, just flat out let him go. It doesn't matter what he did, which is what some people say.
Yeah. I like the parent who shows up and, you know, the child's thinking, great, my parents are here. You're going to get it now. Mm-hmm. And the parent goes, all right, take him away. We'll come get him later. Yeah. And the child's like, wait, what? Wait, what?
Well, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, learning lesson.
KMD of CUNA, there are people who will have their kids go to the store and try to steal something so they can sue the store for overreaction or some sort of abuse of a minor. And, yeah, we don't know if that was the case here.
No.
So, because we have no proof about anything like that.
And the thing is, you just see the end, and you just see the end of the video where she's being detained. And you also don't know if this is something that she has done before at the Winco and maybe loss prevention knew about her. I don't know any of those facts. So
Mark of Meridian says, I wonder if taking bankruptcy empowers someone to shoot you, as that is also a form of stealing, personal responsibility.
Apples and oranges.
It's essentially a legal form of it's meant to get you out of a deep hole that you have no other way of getting out of. But yes, somebody ends up losing something in a bankruptcy, and generally it's the people who trusted the individual to pay them back.
Sure, 100%.
But no, generally they're not supposed to be any guns involved there either.
Let's hope not anyway.
Yeah, not everything in the law seems like it's 50-50 to everybody, obviously.
No. And it's not always. It's not always applied fairly to everyone. It just isn't. I mean, how many times do you see a pro athlete who maybe gets a DUI that they do a suspended sentence or they do community service, where I'm afraid if I got popped my first and only DUI, I'm spending 30 days in jail. It's just different. It's like, hey, I want the, you know, X, Y, or Z athlete punishment, please.
Exactly.
Doesn't always happen that way. It just doesn't. And it's not fair.
And, you know, some of the stuff going on in Washington all the time, in particular right now, I've seen this a lot, that especially with some of the lawyers that are being hired, people say that basically your rights are based on how expensive of a lawyer you can hire. And it doesn't necessarily mean anything. I mean, you know.
No, but it's true.
The fact is, rich people can hire lawyers who can get them off a little easier than poor people. But again, not always a 50-50 chance.
Rush Limbaugh program comes up next. Have a great weekend, everybody. Chris and I will be back on Monday morning on 670 KBOI.